Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much and good morning. The Greek word for light, phos, appears 70 times in the New Testament. The word appears 31 times in John's writings alone. The Gospel according to John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation. In contrast, the word appears 7 times in Matthew, 1 time in Mark, where it is translated fire, and 6 times in Luke. It ought to be obvious to even a casual reader of John's writings that the word light is a major concept. The Apostle John writes in his Gospel, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, that is John, was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lights the way of every man who comes into the world." John 1, 4 through 9. John contrasts darkness and light in the following verses. "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." 1 John 1, 5 through 7. The passage I read from John and the one from 1 John deserve our careful and prayerful attention. But I want to stress in today's lesson what John teaches in verse 7. I shall read that verse again. "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." The simple truths of this verse ought to be comforting and sustaining to all true believers in Jesus Christ our Lord. I do not wish to get bogged down in the technical aspects of this verse, but it needs to be noticed that the word "if" in verse 7 does not suggest any doubt about the truth expressed. The Greek language has 4 conditional statements, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th classes. The verse we are examining is expressed in condition of the 3rd class. That means that the condition is undetermined, but with the prospect of determination. It is not a purely hypothetical statement. Another example from the context of our verse reads, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." 1 John 1, 8. We know that all of us sin and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23. I want to explain one other point of Greek grammar before we look more closely at 1 John 1, 7. All the verbs in this verse are expressed as present active indicatives. The present tense in Greek involves continuing action. Dr. Charles Williams' translation of the Bible takes careful note of the tenses of the verbs in the New Testament. I shall read his translation of 1 John 1, 7. "But if we continue to live in the light, just as he is in the light, we have unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son continues to cleanse us from every sin." Understanding the tenses of the verbs in 1 John will go a long way in helping us get the message divine inspiration intended. According to the verse I am reviewing with you, Christians are to continue to walk in the light. The expression "walk in the light" raises a number of questions in my mind. Who or what is the light? What does it mean to walk in the light? If one does not walk in the light, will that in any way have any bearing on his eternal destiny? Our answers to these questions will have a profound influence on our behavior as children of God. And John is speaking of Christians, not unbelievers. Unbelievers are not in the light. Only Christians are in the light. We are urged to keep on walking in the light. The answer to the first question, what or who is the light, can be answered in two ways. It is perfectly biblical to speak of the what pertaining to the light. Probably no passage in the entire Bible emphasizes this truth so much as this very familiar verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. Later in the same psalm, David writes, Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore does my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, 129 and 130. King Solomon teaches the same truth his father has stressed. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Proverbs 6:23. Paul commanded the Ephesians, Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5:11. How can we discern the unfruitful works of darkness? What source of information is available to modern men which will enable them to discern both good and evil? I know there are religious leaders who say we can depend on the direct operation of God's Holy Spirit. But that is not God's way in this dispensation of leading men away from error and immorality. He leads, as I have read to you, through His Word. If we want to know whether a given act pleases God, we can find the information we need by reading and studying God's inspired book. If we have problems deciding about the morality of adultery, premarital sex, homosexuality, gambling, beverage alcohol, and such like, we must consult God's inspired book. Regardless of what charismatic leaders teach, there is no way of learning about God's will for our lives without believing and obeying God's Word. It is also biblical to speak of the light as a person. I have already given you some passages which show that Jesus is the light of the world. John the Apostle writes about the mission of John the Baptist. John came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, that is John the Baptist, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That, Jesus Christ, is the true light, which lights every man who comes into the world. John 1:7-9. Jesus told some scribes and Pharisees, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. On another occasion, Jesus said to his disciples, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he who walks in darkness knows not where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. John 12:35-36. Paul informed the Ephesians, But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever makes manifest is light. Wherefore he says, Awake, you who sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Ephesians 5:13-14. By his teaching and by his example, Jesus Christ is the light from God Almighty. A careful study of the gospel records will convince any honest person of that truth. Three facts must be mentioned at this point. Jesus came to shine the light of truth on who God the Father is. The Apostle John wrote, No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. John 1:18. The word declared literally means to draw out, to explain, or to reveal. God the Son is an explanation or a revelation of God the Father. The more we know about the Son, the more we know about God. That was Christ's reason for saying to Philip, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." John 14:9. Jesus is the light of God because he shows men how to so walk as to please God. Jesus said to his disciples, "My meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." John 4:34. How could that truth be expressed more plainly than in these words from Jesus? "He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him." John 8:29. All of Christ's miracles, all of his gracious words, and every thought were designed to bring glory and honor to our God. In his life, he demonstrated what it took to please God. There is no reason for us to guess about what God demands of man. We can look at the example of Jesus. I shall have more to say about this later in our discussion today. Jesus also came as light into this world to turn men and women from evil to good, from following Satan to living for Jesus Christ. He made it possible by his death on the cross for men to be born again, to be made new in his sight. Do you remember when Jesus called a little child unto him, set the child in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 18:2-3. The verb "be converted" is not passive in the Greek. It should be rendered "turn." We do the turning. God does not do it for us. We could not turn without his grace, but we are the ones who believe and obey the gospel. Luke tells us that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. We know both who and what the light is. But what does it mean to walk in the light? Do our Quaker friends have it right when they speak of an inner light which tells us what decisions we should make and how we should walk in our daily lives? Actually, the gospel message gives us instructions about moral and spiritual values we must incorporate into our lives. For example, Jesus provides for us his great Sermon on the Mount so that we can know some of the ethical principles which he has given to guide our footsteps. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Matthew 5:3, 5, 8, and 9. The Sermon on the Mount also gives us instructions about the kind of worship which God demands of his children. One book I read recently, which I choose not to identify, speaks often of fasting. The author says he fasts on a regular basis. I understand from the Lord's Sermon on the Mount that that is exactly what we are not supposed to do, that is, boast about our fasting. I know of no one who objects to Christians fasting, but they ought to keep that practice between themselves and their God. Moreover, Jesus said, "When you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you may appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father who sees in secret, and he shall reward you openly." Matthew 6:16-18. The Word of God gives us hundreds and hundreds of commands which we are to obey if we are going to be able to walk in the light. These are just a few of the passages I could read to you on that topic. Will you please listen carefully? "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him who needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:25-32. Can you understand from this passage how helpful the light of these inspired words would be if all of us would live according to what God has given us? Incidentally, the Ephesian letter often uses the word walk. These passages should prove helpful in our understanding of what it means to walk in the light. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as the Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Ephesians 4:1-18. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:1-2, 8:15-16. What if Christians do not walk in the light? Would that in any way affect their eternal salvation? My friends, you cannot possibly be ignorant of what the Scriptures teach on that topic. But in case you may have forgotten, let me remind you of these simple passages. Paul listed some of the grievous sins of the nation of Israel: lust after evil things, idolatry, sexual immorality, tempting Christ, and murmuring, and then added, "Wherefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." 1 Corinthians 10:12. Did Paul actually mean that Christians could fall? If he did not mean that, what did he mean? If you still have any doubts, listen carefully to Paul's warnings to the Galatians. "For I testify again to every man who is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." Galatians 5:4-5. Dr. A.T. Robertson, the distinguished Baptist Greek scholar, says the expression, "you are fallen from grace," means you did fall out of grace. You left the sphere of grace in Christ and took your stand in the sphere of law as the hope of salvation. One more passage on this topic will have to suffice for today. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Hebrews 3:12. Did you know that the word departing comes from the Greek apostanai, from which we get our word apostasy? If a child of God is in no danger of apostatizing, regardless of his behavior, why did the author of Hebrews use the word apostanai? There were other Greek words he could have used had he wanted to soften the warning to these early Christians. John tells us that we are to continually walk in the light as He is in the light. There never was a time when our Lord dwelt in darkness. He never committed any sin and walked the way Satan wanted him to. The author of Hebrews writes concerning Christ, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hebrews 4:14-16. Peter affirms that Jesus did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. 1 Peter 2:22-23. Christians are to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light and is the light. We must never be deceived into believing we can somehow attain the perfection which God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit enjoy. Paul refers to Jesus as the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. 1 Timothy 6:15-16. We should strive with God's help to become as much like Christ as we possibly can, but we can never become Christ or God. I mention this truth for several reasons, but chiefly because of the teaching of some cultic groups and some within the New Age movement. To claim that one is God or can become God is blasphemy. According to the Apostle John, when we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The truth is, we are in fellowship with all who are in fellowship with God and with Christ. The word fellowship comes from the Greek koinonia and means to have something in common. And what do we have in common? Just being religious is not a sufficient basis for fellowship. Christians can have fellowship only with those who have truly obeyed the gospel and are walking in the light. This is one of my major objections to the so-called Promise Keepers organization. They are attempting to build a movement which knows no denominational boundaries. That means if a man believes in salvation by grace alone, and someone else believes we have to obey the gospel, they are walking in different directions. But the Promise Keepers wants to ignore these differences and unite on some indefinable and indescribable basis. Most, but certainly not all, in the Promise Keepers are charismatic. That is clearly evident by reading the books on that organization and by observing their worship services. But there are millions of Americans who view the charismatic movement as being unscriptural and even anti-scriptural. How can those who differ so much have fellowship? It is a false fellowship, and it is bound to fall apart if the ones in the movement have any convictions. Fellowship in Christ is a very precious relationship, but we cannot fellowship just anybody who claims to be a Christian. Paul demanded of the Corinthians, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness and unrighteousness? And what communion has light and darkness?" 2 Corinthians 6:14. The word fellowship in this verse is not the same word we are examining, but the word communion is, and it comes from koinonia. The point Paul is making can hardly be missed. For us to have fellowship, we have to speak the same things, be joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Any other kind of fellowship is pretend fellowship. Our walking always with Christ means that we have constant fellowship with all others who are walking with Christ, even if we are separated by thousands of miles from them. In addition, Continually walking with Christ means that we continually enjoy the remission of sins. Since even Christians, all Christians, are sinners, it is comforting and inspiring to know that we can enjoy at the end of each day the complete forgiveness of our sins. By walking in the light as He is in the light, we are living the way God wants us to live. We know from His gracious promises that we can be forgiven continually of our sins. But what if we are not continually walking in the light? Are our sins forgiven simply because we were forgiven when we were born anew into the kingdom of God? Our alien sins are washed away when we believe the gospel and are baptized into Christ. Is that not what Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus, a believing penitent? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Does God continue to forgive our sins on the basis of our initial obedience to the gospel? If He does, why is there a need to walk in the light? My friend, if you're not a member of the Lord's church today, you have only yourself to blame. God has already made provision for your salvation. He sent His Son to die for your sins. But you cannot be saved simply because of what God has done. You must believe in Jesus as the Son of God. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Your faith must lead you to repent of your alien sins. Confess your faith before men, and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. When you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, then you must worship God as He has outlined in His Word. Seek to lead others to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and walk in the light of the gospel every day. Our Lord's words from the Sermon on the Mount will provide a fitting conclusion to our lesson today. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless and keep you.